Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara is going to discuss the last line in the Mishnah, which references whether there is a classification of etnan zuna for a situation where he says, that I'm going to give you this remuneration in order that your maidservant will come over and sleep with my Eved. Rabbi Omer, Eino Etnan. There's no classification of Etnan. V'chamim Omerim Etnan. We say that is classified as Etnan. The Gemara is going to discuss this. So the first thing is, V'ha, Shivcha the Eved, Mishra Shorya. What's the question here at all? An Eved Knani and a Shivcha Knani are allowed to get married. So we've seen before in the Gemara that the only time there's Etnan Zonah is when you have an illegal or illicit marriage. But that's not what we have over here. And the only one who says otherwise is Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar only says that by a panui and p'nuya of Israelit. By a neved and a shivcha who are totally mutarim echad d'sheni. Why should it be that there's etnan zonah? And Rav Huna, it's lo kamar. No. You misunderstood the Mishnah. The Adon, the master, was inviting over the shivcha kananit for himself. V'haktani eved. What are you going to do with the fact that it says in the Mishnah that he invited over for the eved? Lishnam Alya Kamar. He was just covering up. He was saying it in a nice way. He really wanted her for himself. Then how do you explain the position of Rabbi who says that it's not etnan? It's clear if this is an individual and he's sleeping with a Shifcha Kananit, Israel, Gamur, that's sleeping with a Shifcha Kananit, that is a problem of a zonah, and that certainly should be a problem of etnan zonah. Amar Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Olam Avdi. He really meant his servant. B'chigtani be'eved Ivri. He's not talking about an Eved Kanani, but he's talking about an Eved Ivri. So he has a Jewish servant, and now he's bringing over this maidservant from this other master for his Eved Ivri. Someone says, Ihochi, my time of the Rabbanon. What's the problem with the Rabbanon? Why the Rabbanon call it an Etnan? I understand why. Rabbi says it's not Etnan, because an Eved Ivri is Mutar b'shivcha Kananit. That's one of the jobs an Eved Ivri must do for his master. Aside from work, he has Mishneh Sachar Sachir. He has double wage that he works for you. During the day, he does his work, and at night, he is allowed to be with a Shivcha Knanit, and the offspring belong to the master. So there's no problem with this Eved Ivri sleeping with a Shivcha Knanit. So once again, we understand Rebbe's position, which is that it's not Etnan, but we then don't understand the Rabbonon's position, where it is etnan. My time to Rabbanon, Shivcha, Eved Ivri, Mishra Sharia. Because she's totally mutaret to be together with the Eved Ivri. There is no illicit relationship over here. If there's no illicit relation, then you can't have etnan zonah. Achav ma'iskinan could go into let the isha uvanim. The Eved Ivri came in without a wife and children. Tanya, we have a bright in Kiddushin, ain lo isha uvanim. If he comes into the Abdut without a wife and children, ain rabo moser lo shivcha kananit. His master is not allowed to give him a Shivcha Kananit in that case. Yesh lo isha uvanim. On the other hand, if he's a married man and has children, then Rabbo Moser lo Shivcha Kananit. So we see that the Shivcha Kananit is premised on whether he was previously married or not. So the Chachamim will say that he was not married. And that's why it was an improper relationship for him to be together with the Shivcha Kananit. And that's why he creates Etnan. Again, you have to go back to Rabbi and say, according to Rabbi, why is it that it's mutar here? And why is it not called etnan over here? So as Rashi points out, but we have to say, Rabbi disagrees with that position. He disagrees with this braita, and therefore he thinks that it is fine for him to be together with this shivcha kananit. And their argument is about exactly that. Whether isha vanim is something that's mutar to an Eved Ivri who is not married. According to Chachamim, that's problematic. Therefore it creates etnan zonah. According to Rabbi, it's fine, and that's why it does not create the etnan zonah. All right, the next Mishnah deals with Mechir Kelev. They come as a pair because they're found together in the Psukim. I read you the Pasuk. It's from Devarim Chav Gimel Pasuk Yutet. Lo tavi etnan zonah u'mechir kelev beit Hashem Elokecha l'chol neder. Ki to'avat Hashem Elokecha gam shneihem. So we've seen from the Pasuk etnan zonah. We darshan the word zonah. That was Rav's position yesterday. And ki to'avat Hashem Elokecha, that we darshan for Levi's position, and then later Rav did something also with the word to'eva. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the other half of this pair. We already in the previous Mishnah discussed what is etnan zonah. Now the Gemara wants to know what the Mishnah wants to know what is mechir kelev. Ezu mechir kelev. Ha'omer lechavero holich tle ze tachat kelev ze. Take this sheep in exchange for this dog. So it was used as a transaction. It was a bartering exchange between a sheep and a dog. The same is true of two partners. They broke up the partnership. They dissolved the partnership. One of them took 10 sheep. And one of them took 9 sheep plus a dog. Shekeneged akelev asur. That which is offset by the dog is asur. Now, offset by the dog right now, and Rashi says this, because I haven't been, is that all of them on the other side are problematic. Vishima kelev, the 9 with the kelev are mutarim. They're not called mechir kelev. It's nan kelev, u mechir zona. If you reverse them in the pasuk says it nan zona mechir kelev, what happens if you reverse them and do it nan kelev and mechir zona? Harelu mutarim. Those are mutar legamre. Nan kelev is an instance where he says, I will pay you so that you give me your female dog to sleep with. That would be at nan kelev. And then mechir zona is that you trade the zona for an item, some sort of bartering exchange that involves the zona. And nan kelev, you're now hiring the dog for the services of the dog, not the dog itself. You're not exchanging it, bartering for the dog. And in mechir zona, you're bartering for the woman herself, not for her services. That would be the difference. They are mutarim, shnemar, shnayim, velo arba. Because it says two and not arba. The pasuk actually doesn't say shnayim, so it's most likely means shnehem. Shnehem, velo arba. Those two and not four. Because the pasuk ends that ki tovat Hashem lukecha gam shnehem. That these two things are a tovat to Hashem. So two is limiting it to two instances, and that would only be at nan zonah mechir kelev, not the reverse. And then the last line of the Mishnah is vladutehen mutarim. The offspring of an etnan zonah and a mechir kelev are fine for the mizbeach, because it's hain velo vladotehen. They are asurim, but not their offspring. Now the word hain does not appear in the pasuk. The only word you have in the pasuk is shnehem. So the Gemara is probably darshaning is that shnehem, they're darshaning the haim part of the shnehem to say shnehem. They are problematic, but their offspring are not problematic. Alright, now Tanu Rabbanan, just so that you know that the next piece has very difficult with the Girsaot, I'll read it in one way. I think that the gist of the Gemara for all of the different Girsaot is basically the same. Therefore, by picking one of them, I don't think we lose out in any way. Tanu Rabbanan. Mechir Kelev, Zehu Chalifei Kelev. Mechir Kelev is an exchange, a barter for a dog. V'cheinu Omer, it says, Timkor Amarcha Belohon, Velo Revita B'mechirehem. The reason the Gemara is now looking for an explanation and why it's not obvious, Mechir Kelev, is because the Mechir Kelev in the Torah is spelt with a chet and not with a chaf. So the Gemara wants to make sure that the word Mechir with a chet means the same thing as a Mechir with a chaf. Right, it's a Mechira or a sale of some sort or exchange, a barter. Therefore, it finds the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Tikar Amarcha B'lohon, you sold your nation for not, for nothing. This is a very negative piece of Tehillim on Bnei Yisrael. Shem sold his nation for nothing. And you did not raise the price. You did not ask for a high price. So you see, Mechireyem refers to a price, a sale. And so too, Mechir Kelev over here refers to an exchange, a purchase with the Kelev. Now, this is the part where it gets very difficult. Ema. And then it's not clear what you should say over here. I'll use the Graz Girsa, which is Ema. Etnan Mechir Kelev. So now, if you look at the Pasuk is written as Lotavi Etnan Zona U Mechir Kelev. You could have read the Pasuk this way. Lotavi Etnan. And now there are two manifestations of Etnan. Zona. And then there's a Vav Achibor U Mechir Kelev. So could it be that the definition for Etnan is both Zona and Mechir Kelev? The Gemara's suggestion over here is that you should be Chayav for Etnan Zona, Mechir Kelev, and etnan kelev. Because the way the pasuk reads, you could have had etnan being modified both by zona and mechir kelev. So that's the way we'll read it. We'll read it based on that, which is ema etnan mechir kelev, that it's also etnan is being modified by mechir kelev as well. The Gemara's Gisra continues then, shnayim velo shlosha. It's two and not three. The same way our Mishnah answered shnehem velo arba'a. It's also true, you have the same limud of shnehem velo shlosha. So that's why we do not include Etnan Kelev. So the Gemara responds now, Mika Amrinan Anan Etnan Umechir. I didn't suggest that it should be Etnan and Mechir Kelev, which would make it three. Etnan Velo Mechir Kamrinan. I'm telling you, I want it to be Etnan Kelev and no Mechir Kelev. Meaning that it's, Etnan is being modified by Zona, And whatever this noun phrase mechir kelev means, but not the mechir is a separate entity, but it's just there's an etnan that can be manifested in zonah, etnan that can be manifested in mechir kelev or kelev. So there'd just be two etnans in the Torah, that of a zonah and that of a kelev. Where it says, imkei ne'makra, lo tavi etnan zonah v'kelev. It would be very simple. Then you wouldn't have put the word mechir in there. It would just written, lo tavi etnan zonah and kelev being the two objects of the Adnan. Midichtiv Adnan Zona Umichir Kelev. The fact that it wrote Adnan Zona and then Michir Kelev, it adds in this term Michir, Shmamina, that we have Adnan Zona and Michir Kelev. Two separate items, and the Kelev is not being modified by the Adnan, because the pasuk ends with Shnehem. These are the only two manifestations. There are no more manifestations than that, Shmamina. Ashutafim Shikuku. The partners that dissolved their partnership, and now they divided up the partnership. Nipuk chada the chari kalba. So as I mentioned in the Mishnah, we had 9 plus the dog versus 10 on the other side. And the 10 are all asurim. Mar says, why don't we just say that one of the sheep matches up with the dog? The dog was traded for one sheep, and the other 9 sheep match up against the other 9 sheep. V'hanaf kulu lishtaru. And the remaining 9 should be mutarim. V'harcha b'mayeskinan. What's the case over here? Kagon. The tafi d'mei kelev michad minayu. That the dog is worth more than one sheep. V'hai tfina the kelev shadi b'gulu. And this excess of the dog, you spread amongst the others. Rashi here brings down 2 lishonot, lishon, the first explanation, then lishon yushalmi. The only difference between them is the math. But the concept is the same in both cases. And it's not clear from Rashi what exactly it means by the case that he explains. He basically says that I have a price for a sheep. Let's say we have 10 sheep. Each one is worth 10. So that means I have 100 zuz on one side. On the other side, I have 9 sheep. Each one of them is worth 99 tenths. And then I have a dog that is worth 10. Plus the other 9 tenths that are missing from the other sheep, which means basically 10 and 9 tenths. So he has the dog, which is worth 10 and 9 tenths. I have to now take that dog and offset it with it on the other side. So I have a sheep with 10 on the other side, that offsets it, but I have the excess 9 tenths. That excess 9 tenths will get spread amongst the remaining 9 sheep that are there. Because each one of those 9 sheep, the differential between the price on this side and the other side is exactly that amount. Therefore, I'll assign the dog value to those on the other side. So your questioning is, why don't, Rashi doesn't address this, but the simple question is, why not take the fraction and just assign it to a second sheep? Because the way that Rashi created the case here, where the deficit in each sheep is exactly equal to the excess of that kelev, therefore we spread it across the sheep because of that. It's exactly, mathematically, it works out that they all exactly have this exact deficit, that the extra value is in the sheep, therefore we assign it across all the sheep. But that raises the question, is this the only case where that's true? If it wasn't exactly that way, if it wasn't exactly that the fraction, extra fraction of that one dog spreads across the other sheep, does that mean that it wouldn't be the case? That you would be able to do this, put the dog against 2 sheep and we'd be done? Or is there a reason why we have to say that that fraction spreads across the other sheep? That's not clear from Rashi. Rashi only gives the example where it works out with the numbers, that it has to be that way. Again, Rashi gives that unique mathematical solution. He gives another mathematical solution for the Yushalmi, but they're both doing the same thing, which is saying that there's exactly that deficit that's in the fraction of the dog matches up the other sheep. The differential between each sheep on the 10 side to the differential on the 9 side, that exact amount, if you add them up all, then that'll equal the fraction that the dog is in excess of a single sheep. But that's a very, very unique case. And again, I'm not sure if that's exactly the case that it works. It'll only work in that case, or there's a reason why you can't put the fraction on the other single sheep that's on the other side. Tosafot over here brings in a very interesting point. He says there's a machlokut between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri throughout Shas. About whether there is a concept of Breira or not. Do we pass them that there is Breira? The Ri, Pasak Hilchata B'kulei Shas, the Yesh Breira, there is Breira. And the Rabbeinu Tam is posek in all of Shas that there is no Breira. Obviously the Gemara over here is a little problematic because the Gemara is assuming or taking as a given that you could do Breira. Because the Gemara's question is premised on Breira. That you could take out the one dog against the sheep and say that's Huvrar Davar, it's clear that this sheep is connected to Kelev, and everything else would be Mutar. So Tosafot answers for Rabbeinu Tam. But what's more important, Tosafot says, why don't we use this as a solution every time we have an Isur problem? Over here we have a Michir Kelev, which is an Isur, and how do we want to solve the problem? Through Breira. So why don't we say that anytime we have three things, four things that are mixed up, two of them are a heter, one of them is isur, pull out the isur. Pull out one of them and say, there's braid right here, that's a sur now. It's the same thing here. You're pulling out the one sheep against the dog. So you're pulling out the isur and leaving the heter over. It says, why can't we do that? In every case we have a problem with the isur, pull one out and say, I got the isur, everything else is mutar. How come it doesn't work? So he gives the chiluk, which is a very interesting chiluk, but it makes a lot of sense, which is, Vomer Mori Aramar Klau Gadol Bedinze. So general principle we need to know, the Vadai. Kol davar shehuvrar ha-yisur mitchila, v'achakach nitarev beheter. If the yisur pre-exists, getting mixed up, v'lo samchina na breira, then you can't suggest that breira will solve your problem. If you have something that's a sur, and a bunch of things that are mutar, and they all get mixed together, you can't go close your eyes, stick your hand and say, I got the yisur. That's not a concept of breira. Because we know there was an active isur before it went in there, and one of them is definitely isur. We don't just assume because you stuck your hand in, you came out with the isur. That won't work. Kaven shetarovotoa yab isur. The tarovot was created through isur. On the other hand, like our case over here, avahani tarovotam beheter. They were mixed together beheter. Ki a isur lo hayam mivurar kodem tarovuto. Because the isur was never assigned before they got mixed together. The 10 of them together don't have any, no single one of them was a mechir keleb before we started. Had you had a mechir keleb beforehand and got mixed up with them, then you would not say brei ra. But here, the mechir keleb is only, as you're saying, it's a result of the transaction here, but in a case where it only happens after the fact, over there we can use brei ra, because then we are choosing which one is the isur, because the isur was never assigned before. And therefore over here, it works to pull out one and say that is the isur, because there was no assignment to the isur beforehand, and brei ra will work to assign the isur. So it's a very fundamental chiluk in Tarovet about when Breira does work and when Breira does not work. Alright, so now we move on with the Gemara. Dan kelev u'mechir zona mutar. If you flip them around, they are mutarim. Amar le rova mipar zakaya le ravashi. Minoha milta damu rabbanon. How do we know that this is true, what the rabbanon say? Ein znut le behemot. That there is, the concept of zona does not apply to behemot. That it's not called znut. Bestiality is asur mina Torah, but it will be not assigned the term zonah. My nafkamina. Well, there are two nafkaminot. One nafkamina is by us, which is etnan zonah. It has to be etnan zonah. It has to be for znut, for zonah. That's number one. The other case we'll have a nafkamina is the Gra points out is by Kohanim, which Kohanim are not allowed to marry a zonah. They're not to be involved in a bia that involves a zonah. So also over there is their classification of znut when it comes to a beima. Now Rashi claims that the question is simply like our case in the Mishnah. Our case in the Mishnah where it says that he wants to pay for the services of this female dog to come and sleep with him. And that would be etnan kelev. How do I know that that does not work? How do I know that there's no etnan zona in that case? Because the kelev doesn't have a status of zona. Tosfot asks right away, what's the Gemara asking? Why is this even a question? The Mishnah itself addresses the issue. And says why there is no etnan keleb and bechir zonah is because it says shneim below arba. You've already answered that question, so why do you need to ask the question again? Therefore, Tosafot says the question is otherwise. There's a different question here. Now Rashi's interpretation fits a little more smoothly into the Gemara, and that's obviously why Rashi stuck with it. Tosafot's explanation is a little more problematic in the first line of the Gemara, but after that it flows. But Tosafot says the question is v'nira the bayel hefech that im adam notein etnan lizona, it gives compensation to a zona almanat shealin kalbo etzla, he's paying for his dog to be with the zona im biata kelev mikre zona, when the dog, male dog, goes and sleeps with the zona, he's paying the zona for her services. That's etnan zona. But he's using the services not for himself, but for his male dog. The question is that classified as etnan zonah? Is that classified as znut? Right? That's just the question according to Tosafot is about a real zonah with the payer's dog. And Rashi claims that the question is the same question as Mishnah asked, which is there a concept of etnan kelev? So Amrlei, the response of lo nishmot kra lichtov etnan zonah v'kelev. It's a double negative. The pasuk should not have foregone writing Etnan zonavi kelef. That's what it wanted to say. It should have said etnan zonavi kelef and included that as an isur. The fact that it's etnan zonah and mechir kelef, saying that there is no etnan kelef, that's already an indication that there is no znut, there is no din of zonah by bestiality. Tani nami ochi, we have a braita that supports this. Many change the girsa to tnan because it's our mishnah as well. I'm going to say that in general, the braita, when it's brought down, should explicate. The fact that it doesn't explicate shows you that this must be the reason. Minayin le'etnan kelev u'mechir zonah, when you flip them, shemutarim, shenemar, bet velo dal. It says shnehem velo arba, two and not four. Vladuhem mutuarim, shenemar gam shnehem, heim velo vladotehem. So again, it's the same quote from our mishnah. The conclusion is the same, that there is no concept of etnan kelev, at least according to Rashi. And therefore, the Gemara quotes the Braita or the Mishnah for its end result, not necessarily for the methodology. Many say that it's for the same reason. The reason that Shnehem Velo Arba is because of Ein Znut Beima. Tosfot says that the reason they quoted the Mishnah and the Braita over here is just like in the Mishnah, it's not classified as Znut when you have a man sleeping with a Beima. So too, when you have a woman sleeping with a Beima, that will not be classified as Znut or Zonah for Etnan Zonah. Okay, next. Amar Rava. This is a Gemara that we've seen before in Baba Kama and other places, which is Vlad Hanir Ba'at. You have an animal that had bestiality performed with it, a female animal, and then she later gives birth to an offspring. That offspring is Asura. The offspring is Asura. He, Vivlada Nir Be'u. Because she and her offspring were both, the act of bestiality was performed with them. Right, that's what it seems from here, is that she was pregnant at the time. Nogachat. A para gored someone, a human being, and killed them. Asra, he, vevlada, nagchu. So that's a vlad no gachat, the offspring of a goring para. She and her offspring are asurim because together they gored. Vlad mukse, v'nevad. The offspring of something that was worshipped, or the offspring of something that was designated to avodah zarah, mutar. There it's mutar. My taima. Li'ime akze, li'ime pachila. They wanted the mother for the work or whatever designation for Avodah Zarah. Li'imei pachila. And they worshipped the mother. Nothing to do with the offspring. The fetus wasn't the object of worship. And the fetus wasn't ikadam, right? They have another opinion that is Vlad mukse v'nevad asur. Some that say that even the offspring of mukse v'nevad are problematic. My taima. D'nechalei bin nifchei. That you are happy with its expansion. Meaning that the heft of the animal, it's important to you. In the case where you're worshipping the mother, now that the mother looks bigger and is bigger because of the fetus inside of it, therefore you like worshipping it better. And that's why over here, when you have a vlad inside, the vlad is a participant because they add heft to the animal. So too, by the case of mukse, you now are giving over to avodah zarah a bigger animal because of the ubar that's inside of it. So the ubar that creates that heft is a participant. Now, going back to why by the case of Nogachat and by Nirbat, why is the fetus involved? Again, by Nogachat, the fetus was also involved. The weight or the heft of the animal was given by the fetus as well. So therefore, they're a participant in the Nigicha and the goring. Nirbat also, for whatever reason, if the animal is bigger or the animal has more heft to it, maybe that is better in terms of the Nirbat and the animals involved. In those two cases, there was physical contact. Over here, there wasn't physical contact, and therefore, the other braita that suggested that there is, the vlad of muksa and the vlad of the nevad is mutar, will differentiate along those lines, whether there's physical contact or not. The braita that says that it's all a serim, you can put them all together in the same pot, saying that the vlad adds something in all these cases. Amar Rav Achodvai Bar Ami Amarav Hamikadesh Peperesh Shor Aniskal Mikudeshet. Someone who uses the waste of a Shor Aniskal, they are mikudeshet. The perish egle avodah zarah ain't a mikudeshet. But if you use the waste that comes out of an egle avodah zarah, then you are not mikudeshet. We're talking about here things that are asurim bahana, shor niskal, and egle avodah zarah. In one case, we say the isur ana applies not only to the animal itself, but to its waste. That's by avodah zarah. On the other hand, by the shor niskal, we say that the isur ana applies to the shor, not to its waist. Therefore, if you are mikadesh and isha with that perish, it works. Awfully romantic guy. My taima, ibayitei makra, vibayitei masavoro. Either because of psukim or logical. Logical argument is that same logic that we used before with the vlad, which is that the bigger the animal looks, the better it is. So the perish adds half to the animal, and therefore it's part of the avodah zarah. The assignment of the word lo nechale over here is similar to what many rishonim say by psikreshe de lo nechale, which is doesn't mean that you don't want it. It means that you're indifferent. With the perish of the Shurani skull, you're indifferent about it. You don't care if it has the perish or not. Whereas, by the Avodah Zarah, you want it. Just like by Psikresha, the Lo Nechle, according to many Rishonim, means that you're indifferent. It's not that you don't want it. Not that it has to be a negative assignment. It just has to be said that you're indifferent about the outcome in that case. Ibai Zemakra, some say that it's based on the Pasuk, Gabi Avodat Kochvim Tiv, by Avodah Zarah it says, Vahita Kherem Kamohu. Kol shata mehayeh mimenu. Hayita is mehayeh, that which you make out of it. Anything that is produced by it, kamo, will be like it. So here, the perish, the waste that is produced with it, will have the same assignment of it itself. That means the perish will be like the avodah zarah. Kol shata mehayeh mimenu, whatever is produced by it, harehu kamo, is exactly like it. Gabishura nishkal, by the shura nishkal, tiv lo yachelet bisaro, you may not eat its flesh. Bisaro asur, persho mutar. Only the flesh is problematic, but the perish has nothing to do with that. There is no inclusion in the pasuk for anything that is a product of this animal. Okay, next Mishnah. If he paid the zonah with money, hare elu mutarim. The money is considered fine. Yenot ushmanim visiltot. If he gave her wine, oil, or fine flour, chol davar shiotzve karev al gabi hamizbeach. Anything that is in and of itself able to go on the mizbeach, asur. That item becomes asur, and it may not be brought to the mikdash or used on the mizbeach. Natana mukdashim. If he gave her, in exchange for her services, something that was already hekdesh, hare elu mutarim. They are mutar because it's not his. It's hekdesh. Since it's hekdesh, then he can't create an etnan zonah, it's something that doesn't belong to him. Ofot, if he gives her birds, these are birds of chulin, reilu asurim, they are considered to be asur. Why would I have thought otherwise? Sheya b'din, I could have made a kal v'chomer. Ma'im ha-mukdashim sha'mum b'usel b'hem. When it comes to a mukdash, something that's already kodesh, mum is problematic for them. Ein etnanu mechir chalalim. We just said that by mukdashim, mechir kelev and etnan do not have any effect on him. Of, she'en amum b'sobo. We know by ofot, there's no din of mum except b'chusar eiver, so there's no din of mum. Einu din, shlo yehei etnan mechir chalalav. Certainly then, the mechir kelev and etnan zonah should not have impact on it. Tamul omar, l'chol neder l'avi et of. Pasuk says, lo tavi etnan zonah mechir kelev beit Hashem l'kecha l'chol neder. For any voluntary offering. Ofot are brought as voluntary offerings. Therefore, they're included in the restriction of etnan zonah and mechir kelev. Kol asurim legabi mizbeach. Anything that is problematic for mizbeach, vladutehem, mutarim. Their offspring are considered to be fine. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Vlad trefa lo yikrav al gabi mizbeach. Offspring of a trefa should not go on the mizbeach. Now that, according to Rashi, means that it's only asur the gabi mizbeach. The offspring of a trefa is only asur the gabi mizbeach. But for chulin, it would be mutar legamre. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi's explanation of Perish Rashi, but they had, yo, divya kol shari, t'lo mi gufaka rabo, v'lo nihira. So he says that he doesn't think that's true. V'chei nira, daf le'ejot asur. Even to ejot, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the offspring of a trefa is not only asur for hekdesh, for the mizbeach, but also for the hejot. So why is the mishnah ha'ad anakad lo yikrav? Shem rabbanon damre yikrav. Lo yikrav is just Rabbi Lezer's response to the rabbanon who say yikrav, because they say he can even go on the mizbeach. So it's just to tell you the kol hetera of the rabbanon. Rabbi Lezer believes it's a sur not only for mizbeach, but also a sur for the hejot. Rechanina ben Antigonus sumer ksheira. It's fine. She anka min atrefa suva. On the other hand, problems only if it nursed from a trefa. Psula mi'al gabi mizbeach. Then it's pasul from the mizbeach. Kol ha-kodashim shenasu trefa, any kodesh that becomes a trefa, im podin ota, you don't redeem it, because im podin et kodashim la'achilam leklavim. Not redeem kodashim in the end, because they have no usage for human beings. If they're a trefa, they're a surf not only for kodesh, but also a surf for hejot. If you redeem them, the only use for them is to give use them as dog food. So we're not going to do bizayon kodashim, we're not going to be podin psula mukdashim in order that they end up being dog food. Alright, Tan Rabbanan. So this is a Gemara we've seen before in Baba Kama, we saw in Perakam Ruba, but more importantly in Gozel Kama, about what's called Shinoi. What happens when you change the nature of the item? Does that take away the isur? Does that change how we view the item? If he paid her with wheat, and then she made them into fine flour. Zaytim, he paid her with olives, vasatan, shemen, and she made them into oil. Anavim, he paid her with grapes, vasatan, yain, and she made them into wine. Tani chada asurim, tanidach mutarim. One brayta that says asur, one brayta that says mutar. Amav Yosef, tane gruyon demin asporek, Beit Shammai usrim, ubeit Hillel matirim. Those braytot have to do the positions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel savrei heim velo vladotehem, like we learned, shnehem, hem velo vladotehem and not their offspring, heim velo shinuyehem. They are problematic, but if they are changed, there's a shinui in the object, a shinui she'enu chozer lebriyato, shinui that includes a shinui shein, over there, it would be mutarim. So that's what you have in all these cases. You change for wheat to flour, changing it from olives to oil, grapes to wine. You're changing the nature of the item. It can't be reversed. You're also changing the name or the way that we call the item. So for that, it's enough of a shinui that it's heim velo shinuyem. But shemai savri heim velo vladotehem. Gam, over there it says gam shnehem. So the gam is a riboy, the rabot shinuyem. So when it says, ubeit Hillel aktiv gam, what is Beit Hillel going to do with that riboy of gam? Gam to Beit Hillel, kasha. You're right. Gam for Beit Hillel is a question. They don't have anything that they do with the word gam. Right, Tarabanan. Beit Hashem Elokecha. It says in the Pasuk, Lo tavi etnan zona umichir kelev, Beit Hashem Elokecha. So what is this Beit Hashem Elokecha? Prat lipara. That it comes to the skuta para duma, sheina ba labayit, because it doesn't end up in the Mikdash. So para duma does not have this restriction. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Chamim amrim, lerabot et arikuim. It's not coming to be mayit, things like the paraduma, but rather to include things that are used for binyan abayit, rikuim, things that are pounded, things that are used as building materials. So if he paid her with stones that they're going to use to pave the floor of the Mikdash or the walls of the Mikdash, he gave her metals, gold, that they're going to use to line the walls of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, those are problematic, because that's Beit Hashem Elokecha. You can't use Ednan Zonam if you're killing for Beit Hashem Elokecha. Man Chachamim. Amar Chista Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudai. That who's the Chachamim? It's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudai Tanya. Not on Lazav. If he gives her gold, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudai Omer, Einu Sim Rikuim. Afilu Acharei Beit HaKaporet. You cannot make it into building materials, even for behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, behind the Heichal, there's 11 Amot till the end of the western side of the Mikdash, where we are at the Kotel. A little further down towards the northern side, the wall of the Mikdash, the Azarah, was further in from there. And then from the wall of the Azarah, 11 Amot more, was the back wall of the Kodesh HaKodeshim of the Eichal. That Acharei Beit HaKapor, which is a place of lower Kedusha, even over there, you can't use Ednan Zona to fix it up. Whether it means Zahav, which means the plating, the gold plating, or whether it means the stones, as Rashi says, makeup over here, that you cannot do behind even Acharei Beit HaKapor. Now what's the difference that your thought or the Hav Amina would have been? And I think this is important, is that the problem is that you're putting it on the Mizbeach. And Ednan Zona, originally we thought was something that is Mikrav Begabe Mizbeach. We're talking about behemoth, animals, or the examples in the Mishnah were Yenot, Siltot, Shmanim, all things that go directly on the Mizbeach. So you would suggest that Ednan Zona is improper, it's not the right thing to put on the Mizbeach. Let's say now hakuveu na lepechat ha ayutzah Hashem imlo. It's just not the right thing. It's not, you don't bring that type of gift to put on the mizbeach directly. Something that's a kapara. Also, maybe I would not allow you to use it for the metal for the mizbeach zahav. The gold for the mizbeach zahav, I would not allow you to pound it onto the mizbeach zahav because the mizbeach zahav is involved in that process. So along comes the chachamim and say that Beit Hashem Elokecha says that even things that are involved in Beit Hashem Elokecha, and taking that even a step further. Not only items that go on the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach itself, like the gold plating, but even building materials for the building itself will also be problematic. And that's the Riboy of Beit Hashem Elokecha. I would have limited it to Avoda and Mizbeach. Things that are involved in the process of Kapra being offered to Hashem, that's inappropriate. But the building itself, alright, it gets put in there. The answer is, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudu, that's problematic as well. It says, V'yu muktashim etnan umichir chalayhem mikal v'chomer. Now, truthfully, the girsa gets changed here. If you want to look at it in the Shita Mekubetzah, the girsa really quotes our entire Mishnah. After quoting the kal v'chomer in our Mishnah, which is, we say from a Baal Mum, we should have learned to ofot. Gemara says, well, we can't learn that because Talmud Omar, the Chol Neder. Now the Gemara will come back and say the other way around. We should learn out a muktashim from ofot. Now that we know that ofot have a problem in mechir kelev and etnan zunah, now let's reverse this. Which is, v'yu muktashim etnan u'mechir chaloyem yikav v'chomer, ma ofot shein amum posel behem, just like ofot, where the mum doesn't affect them, etnan u'mechir chaloyem, because we said the chol neder, muktashim shamum posel behem, muktashim where mum does affect them, enu din she etnan u'mechir chaloyem, it certainly should work. Tamalomar the chol neder, Lutzi et a nadur. Chol neder is something that you bring as a voluntary offer, not something that is already nadur, already assigned hekdesh. Taima demaitin hukra. The reason that it's not accepting etnan zonah mechir kelev is because we have a pasuk. Halo meitin hukra, had the pasuk not been or excluded these items, haba amina ki yoiv la muktashim chaleim etnan mechir, how could that work? Va'lav memonahu, or lav memonohu. It's not his money. We quoted this in yesterday's Gemara, La Birshutohu. By Kodashim, you need two things. You need ownership and control. They have control over here, but you don't have ownership. Ownership belongs to Hekdesh. So you can't assign something to this Hekdesh. It's not yours to make it into Etnan Zonah Mechir Kelev. Your lack of ownership should be the problem here, not a miyot out of the Pasuk. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, B'mimeneh Apiskol. Unique case where he's joining people on his Pesach, Korban Pesach. V'Rabbi, it's according to Rabbi, D'Tanya. If the household does not have enough to put onto a single seh, meaning their household will not be able to eat the korban at Pesach by itself, then we bring on other people. The Gemara now darshins, if the household's economic situation dropped, miyot miseh, hecheyeyu miseh, allow him his livelihood out of the seh. Michtei achila, velo michtei mechach. You're allowed to take out livelihood for your necessities, but you're not allowed to do business with the Korban HaPesach. So here you have a Korban HaPesach. He bought the Korban HaPesach when his economic situation or his liquidity were better. And now all of a sudden his finances have dropped off. Either he is illiquid or he no longer can afford to hold on to this by himself. So we say over there he's allowed to sell portions in his Korban HaPesach to others, in order to have his basic necessities, in order to have food on his table,
or for the needs of the Korban Pesach itself, like to buy wood in order to roast it.
But what he's not allowed to do is then to sell portions in the seh, the Korban Pesach, in order to create for himself, Rashi says, liquidity to do other business transactions. Or, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, you can't sell it for things like talit and ksut. You can't sell it for clothing. You can only do it for food necessities, not for any other necessities. The way Rashi reads is you can sell it for basic necessities, you can't sell it for business reasons. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Omer, af michtei mechach. You can even do it for monetary matters, in exchange for money. Shim'ein lo memaneh acherim mimo apisko. If he doesn't have enough in his family, he brings others onto his Pesach. V'achi gagato, umautov chulin. When you sell those portions, the money is chulin. Shamnat kein higdishu Yisrael apiskayem. Because B'nai Yisrael, when they're magdish to apiskayem, they have that in mind. That they are magdish, their portion of it. The other portion, they're intending to sell to others to be a part of it. So that's their original intention. That's their original intention. Then we don't say it's kodesh, and he's selling kodesh and trying to take that money for himself. He's not doing schorah and hekdesh. The original intent was when he purchased the animal that the portion that he can use will be hekdesh for him. Whatever else he sells off will be mot chulim for him, and those people will gain a portion in the Pesach. So according to Rabbi, to be memaneh la Pesach is chulin. It's your right. You can sell it. So here, he traded, again, another from Zonah. He said to her, listen, I would like your services, and I will trade you a spot on my Korban Pesach. You can have a spot on my Korban Pesach, and you'll provide me services. So that would have been Etnan Zonah. Etnan Zonah, because the assignment of a proportion of the Pesach belongs to you. You could sell it for money. So that's money good. If it's money good, then he can sell into something that's Hekdesh. This is a Mukdash, the Korban Pesach. You could sell a portion to this woman for her services, and that would have been Etnan Zonah. Along comes the Pasuk and says, something that's Mukdash already will not become Etnan Zonah. Kol Asrim Legabei Mizbeach. Amarav. Kol Asrim Legabei Mizbeach. Vladoteyem Mutarim. Anything that is a Surah Mizbeach, their offspring are Mutarim. V'tani Allah. V'rebi Eliezer Oser. Now Rav's just quoting the Mishnah, because it's exactly what's written in the Mishnah. V'lezer says that is a Surah. Amarav Huna. Barchinina Amarav Nachman. Machloket, the machloket here is she'ibru ulusof near bi'u. That is when they were pregnant, and then the action happened. The Rabbi Eliezer savar ubar yerechimo. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that ubar is an extension of the mother. Therefore, they are considered to be one entity. They're one entity. If the act was perpetrated on the mother, it's also perpetrated on the blood. That the blood, the fetus, is independent of the mother. So the act was perpetrated with the mother, the fetus is independent of that. Aval nir bi'u, the Sofi brew. If the act was perpetrated before she ever became impregnated, then divrei hakol mutarim. Everybody says it's mutar, because then the fetus is totally independent of the act. That's the way that Rav Huna bar Chinina Amar Rav Nachman reads it. He says that the argument is about only when it's pregnant, when the act took place, but if it's after the fact, then everybody says it's mutar. Rav Amar, Rav says that it's a machloke kishinir ba'u ulusofi bro. When they had the act, and only after the fact that they become pregnated. Rav Elazar savar zevze gorei masur. Rav Elazar says when you have one side of heter and one side of isur, then they are asurim, because the father here is mutar, the mother had the act perpetrated with her, or she was no gachat, whatever the isur act was, when they come together and mate, if you have zevze goreim, he believes that's asur. Rabbanan savre zevze goreim is mutar. Aval ibru, she was already pregnant, ulusof nirbo, and then the act was perpetrated, divrei hakol asurim, then everybody agrees it's asur in that case, because ubar yerchimo, according to everybody. Rabba the tame, Rabba is to his own reason, dama Rabba, vlad nirbat, asura hi, vvada nirbo, Rabba says that a vlad of someone that had bestiality perpetrated with it is asura. He, vvada nirbo, they were both a part of the act. Vlad no gachat, again, the offspring of a goring animal, asur, is asur to put on his vechi, vavlada nakhu. They together did the act, because ubar is yerechimo, and therefore, when the fetus is inside of the mother, when the act takes place, it's as if it's another limb, aver of the mother, and they were a part and parcel of the act. The only argument is, again, after, if she only became impregnated after the act, then what's the assignment of the fetus in terms of ze goreim? Lishnachrina. We have another way to read this, another lashon. Lishnachrina amrilo. Am ravuna barchinin amar rab nachman machloket shenirbe'u kishein mukdashim. The machloket here is only when the act that was perpetrated was when they already had dish. The Rabbi Lezer savar bazya milto. Bizayon kodoshim. And since bizayon has effect or impact, therefore it's problematic to put on the mizbeach. Rabbanan savrei lo, that once it's mukdashim, you can't take away from the fact this doesn't belong to you. You can't make this animal asur, it belongs to Ekdesh, and therefore it's fine to put on the mizbeach. Aval nir be'u kishein chulin. If the act took place while they were chulin, ho vishtanu diri hakol mutarim. Since now that they have changed their status, they've gone from chulin to being kodoshim, then we will say that it's like a different animal now, it's a different status, and they are mutar to go on the mizbeach, because there's a shinui that took place over here. Rabba, my Rav Nachman, machloki shnir behu shein chulin. The machloki is when the act took place when they were chulin. The Belezer savar bazio milto, that the act of riv'ah has impact in terms of bizayon and the effect on the animal, and therefore you can't take that away afterwards. Rabbanan savrei hol v'yishtano, they agree with him on that position, but since it's changing, it's going from chulin to kodoshim now, mutarim, they're mutar. Aval nir ba'u kishen mukdashin, if the act was perpetrated when they were kodesh, tivri akol asurim, everybody agrees it's because everybody says bazio milto then. Both the chachamim and Rabbi Lezer think bazio milto is just by chulin, it's a question of the shinoi makes an impact. Rabbi Lezer says shinoi doesn't make an impact, chachamim say shinoi does make an impact. But by kodeshim, everybody will agree. So we had two lishanot about what exactly the machloket was. Either the machloket is about the question of how big a participant the vlad is in this action. Based on that, we have a machloket between Rav Nachman and Rava as to where their opinions lay out in terms of ubar yerchimo and zev zeh gori masur or mutar. And the second lishna, the machloket between Rav Nachman and Rava, revolves around whether bazio miltohi, whether they act, this denigrating act has impact on the animals, and as to whether the shinoi from chulin to kodesh is impactful. Those are the two different lishonot. In both cases, Rava is more machmir in terms of the machloket. Rav Nachman is the makil because he's limiting the machloket. Okay, we'll stop over here.